Saturday Meditation, January 12th, 2008. Our question this evening, Quo, has to do with the concept of transformation. Each of us, on our individual journeys of seeking, go through various experiences, and we observe these experiences. And when we observe them with, I guess, the most accuracy, we don't have judgment for them. We just go through them and let them experience themselves through our lives. And in some way or another, cumulatively or individually or at some point, transformations occur. And we would like for you to speak to this concept of transformation, how we come about it. Is there a time within our seeking that's most ripe for it? Is there a way that we can aid it most effectively? Talk to us about transformation. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We are those known to you as the principle of Ukul. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator, in whose service we come to you this day. We thank you, my friends, for asking us to join your circle of seeking at this session of working. It is our honor and our privilege to join you. We are most appreciative of the opportunity to attempt to be of service to the one Creator by sharing our humble thoughts with you on the subject of a transformation. As always, we would ask that each of you employ his powers of discrimination as each listens to that which we have to say or reads those words which we share at this time. Follow the resonance in those thoughts that appeal to you and seem full of life to you. If those things which we have to say do not happen to have any resonance, then we would ask for you to leave them aside and continue seeking until you find that which resonates to you, for your powers of discrimination are quite adequate to allow you to sense the rightness of those things which you need to take into your process at this time. And this applies not only to our words, but to all of those things which you hear or read. Let your natural ability to discriminate between that which is for you and that which is not for you function in the way that it should, and follow the law of attraction. We thank you for this consideration. It will allow us to speak our thoughts freely without being concerned that we may infringe upon your free will or disturb the rhythmic flow of your process. Transformation is a somewhat overused term among those who seek in the ways of spirit, both your established religions and your alternative spiritual practices tend to speak of transformation until it has almost become a diminished word from having been overused. In its roots, my friends, it means to change form, to cross over from one form to another. In a different word with the same root, transformation often follows an intake of information to form new mental and emotional formations, thus precipitating the deeper self into the need to accommodate new information. By information, we do not simply mean that which is taken in through the process of reading books, attending seminars, or listening to inspired speakers. We speak of the whole intake process of a working, conscious, awakened spirit in incarnation on planet Earth. There is a tremendous amount of information which floats into the five senses and moves through the awareness and the thought processes of each entity, all things being grist for the mill. So transformation is a move from one stage or phase of life to another. It almost has the connotation or the inference of being that of a shapeshifter, where you actually change your spiritual or metaphysical shape. There are models of transformation which are helpful in thinking about times of change within the self as it undergoes realizations of accumulated information which have precipitated change. One model is the much cliched butterfly. And there is some advantage to thinking of transformation with this model in use. The unawakened pupa and larva go about their routines, eating and becoming ready to enter into a phase of development that is transformative in a way that changes the form of life from that which crawls to that which flies. And you may see that time of transformation as precipitated by the going into the cocoon of dealing with new thoughts and letting those thoughts marinate within your consciousness. The thoughts and concepts which you have taken in can come from many, many sources, only partially those of the intellect. And intellectual activities such as reading and discussing and pondering inspired thoughts or thoughts that you hope will be inspired. you also are processing the cumulative cycles of your feelings, and you are dealing with the challenges that you are experiencing in all of the various chakras, especially the first three chakras, in terms of those stages leading up to transformation. And when you spring forth in the natural course of time from your cocoon, you are indeed a new creature, looking at life from a slightly different vantage point, higher, broader. Little do you know that you also have become beautiful and are flying from person to person and thought to thought with life-giving pollen within your touch. You do not even know that you are transmitting it, for the pollen of the awakened spirit is that of being rather than doing, and there is little of intellectual nature in how an entity becomes able to be of service to others by the very radiance of his being. However, that model of transformation suggests that first you were unawakened and couldn't fly, and now you are awakened and you can fly. First you were a slug, now you are beautiful, and such butterfly thoughts will actually get you nowhere. For transformation is a cycle. It is an inevitable cycle. You will transform. You shall become a new creature. The only question is whether or not you wish to accelerate the process of your own spiritual evolution. Those who are listening to these words and those who read them are those who wish to become more than they have been. And so that wish in and of itself will hasten the rate of speed of change in your life. For by wishing to be transformed and by being willing to be transformed, you make the space for being transformed. Consequently, we would perhaps use rather the transformational model of the also much cliched chambered nautilus, which outgrows its house and therefore enlarges his house without ever leaving his house. Just in such a way do you enlarge your point of view as you move through these cocoon-like periods and emerge from them with the sense of having a new perspective, which has created for you the self-perceived feeling of being a new creature. You continue to expand in your awareness in a cyclical manner until such time as you pass from this environment through the gates of larger life, where you shall not lose a beat in continuing your spiritual evolution. The rhythm of transformation is linked to several things, and we shall look at various of them. Firstly, there is the shall we say, outer or non-chosen portion of transformation, which has to do with your life cycles. There is a natural tendency for each cell in your body to be born, mature, and pass. And there is a natural time for each part of the experience of your incarnation to flourish and then to make way for a different experience based simply upon the accumulation of time and experience in your incarnation. You have little control over this particular part of the cycle of transformation. It is part of your body, part of your mind, part of your emotions, part of the natural phases of life. There is the part of transformation which is involved in very deep and subtle energies, such as the stars in your sky, the sun especially, and the moon. The monthly, annual, and slowly revolving astrological patterns of your life will have some sway over the rhythm of your cyclical transformations. And certainly, the times that now are upon you, where the fourth density is virtually present, interpenetrating a third density, has set you awash in energy tide after energy tide, so that you are constantly being washed with rhythmic waves of truth, love, and understanding. This has the effect upon anyone who is at all sensitive to these energies of creating a more lucid ability to look at the mirroring that is going on in your particular life at this time. Each relationship which you have gives you a mirror for yourself. Just as in your dreams, each character represents a portion of yourself. So in the waking life, each interaction with another entity shows you the mirror of yourself in part, in the actions and behaviors, the thoughts, and the concepts offered by that interaction. Consequently, you are constantly seeing portions of yourself mirrored in a somewhat distorted way by those who are in relationship with you. All of these changes and chances, all of these natural cycles, create a basic default. The human was created to transform. That is the nature of the self-conscious, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual being that you are. That is your potential, and that is your destiny. Change from one form into another, from one kind of thought into another whole paradigm of thought. You cannot help but progress. So you may feel easy about whether or not you are changing, whether or not you are being successful at transforming. It is inevitable for you to go through transformation upon transformation. And you do not have to push or thrust yourself towards transformation. You may relax in the knowledge that it is inevitable. Then there is the part of the transformational experience which has completely to do with your will and your hunger and your thirst for understanding and truth. The more passionate that you are about seeking the truth, the more you are able, as a metaphysical entity working in time-space, to have an effect upon the pace of your transformative rhythm. It is entirely possible for an entity who is awake and conscious and aware of the process of change to accelerate the pace of that change by quite a bit. The fundamental transformation of a human being within incarnation is from that spiritual childhood of feeling that one is tossed about by outside forces and dependent upon luck and chance for the road one is on and the road one may choose to be on. To a more mature spiritual awareness in which the entity has taken responsibility for the occurrences and events of everyday life, realizing that in those very events lies all the grist needed for the mill of transformation. Consequently, if a seeker wishes to maximize the opportunity for accelerating the rate of spiritual evolution within this refinery of souls, which is third density, the seeker may decide to begin to hone and focus his efforts by the focusing and whetting of his appetite for the truth. The most effective tool in working towards transformation is the self-conscious living of the life. We are not talking about those who mull endlessly over every detail of their life and thought throughout each day. but rather in terms of talking about the most effective way to work towards transformation. The most effective resource is one's own ability to observe oneself without affecting that which is being observed. The one known as Jim spoke of being aware that in transformation it was important not to judge. And this is the kind of objectivity about which we are speaking. It is indeed important, indeed central, to refrain from judgment as one goes through the collecting of information about the self that is necessary in order for the self to be offered up and thus become empty enough to have the space in which to transform. It is ironic, is it not, that in the search for truth, the answers lie not in discovering that which can be known, but in discovering that the secrets to the mystery of transformation lie in unknowing and faith. Faith is the most powerful force in the universe, it being another name for realized or positively realized love. You live in a universe made of love. The original thought was a thought of unconditional love. As you transform, the core of your transformation is an awareness that has not been there before about the nature of your central or deepest self as being part of love itself, or the creative principle, which is the one great original thought of unconditional love. As you become full of new information that brings you to a place of transformation, you suddenly discover that you are no longer full. You discover that this very fullness and sense of new life tips you into the corresponding and balancing awareness of oneself as knowing nothing. It is a devastating portion of transformation, this realization that nothing is known and that nothing can be known within the illusions of the earth world. Yet, as one moves through that which has been called the purgative way, one becomes aware that one is utterly empty. And there is a kind of purity in that emptiness that is powerful. You become the Holy Grail, which you seek because you are that cup which is now empty, or that hand outstretched which has nothing in it, ready to receive that which is new. That which comes from the great original thought to transform you as a creature so that you have become that which is new. Then that cycle begins again, where you start from a new place in the spiral of evolution. It is if it were a flattened spiral, the same place you have been before in this incarnation. Yet, because it is an upward spiral, you are always moving to that place you were before with a new mind, so that you meet that repeating theme or those repeating themes of your incarnation from a new place of observation and experience. There are themes to most entities' incarnations, recurring light motifs of the music of your life. For this instrument, for instance, the recurring theme is the study of how to offer love without the expectation of return. It is a powerful lesson in that one learns again and again that one's life is not the life of one who reacts, but one who offers from the creative or generative heart, that which is given without any expectation of anything in return. Once one has begun to learn this lesson, one can begin to see how transformed one's life is by the ability to live as a part of the Godhead principle, one who is willing to let love flow through him. It is one of several very common themes for those who have come to this planet in order to be subject to the Athanor of experience. Each experience which one has becomes a source of possible catalyst. And as one pays more and more attention to one's catalyst, one becomes more and more able to recognize these recurring themes of incarnational level lessons that are part of each entity's life in a unique way. No two entities have the same exact incarnational lessons, for each has chosen those lessons carefully. Consequently, each person, as he transforms and becomes a new person, is offering an energy that has never been offered before in the infinite annals of the creation. For each transformation is from one unique being to another equally unique being. We thank each for the power and the beauty of the energies which are being run during transformation. The courage of each in being able to go through these dark nights of the soul and to see the magical nature of the self is greatly appreciated by those of us who do not dwell within the veil of unknowing, but have access to the truth in a much less veiled way. It may help those seeking to maximize their ability to be transformed and transformational beings to look at the essence of the shaman's experience. The shaman, whatever his nationality or culture, is basically that entity who chooses to go through the death experience while remaining alive. Those of Ra spoke of the shamans of the time of Egypt who used the pyramid to go down under the pyramid into that catafalque-like place where sensations were numbed and an entity was closed up from all incoming experience, thus mimicking the death process after days spent within that tomb-like place under the pyramid. The experience of death had been well met, and the entity was then able to observe life with a delight and an appetite that would not have been available to the one who had not experienced that death of the senses, the death of sensation, the death of stimulation, shall we say. The great vigor available to the shaman comes from that entirely organic and spontaneous delight that one who has been dead takes in life. After experiencing the deprivation of the dark night of the soul, whether by the vision quest or by the steam and the heat of a sweat lodge, or by any of those transformative experiences that can be found throughout the various cultures of your planet, there is the completely novel experience of new life, new growth, new hope, and new beingness. With each transformation, there is more of an appreciation for the gift of awareness and an ever more transparent ability to allow things to move through one. One becomes a radiant being, not because one has more light within the self, but because one is more able to allow light to move through the energy body and out into the world. It is not that one becomes a more powerful ego, but that one has allowed to drop away from the self many things which were either blocking or dimming the light which moves through each entity within creation. As entities become more spiritually mature, they become more and more aware that they do not know anything. They become more and more aware that they are living in the now, and that this now is a beautiful, magical, wonderful moment wherein two worlds meet. The world of phenomenal experience and the world of infinity and eternity. they become aware of themselves as a place where these two worlds may express at the same time. They are embodied spirits and may feel both the day and the night, the heat and the cold, and all of the dynamics of opposites that create the world of male and female, the earth world. At the same time as they are able to feel the energies of infinity and eternity move through them and create that consciousness which only time, space, and timelessness can offer. Gradually, an entity becomes aware of himself as one who plays in the waters of time, much as an otter plays in the pool, leaping and jumping for the very joy of the movement, rejoicing and enjoying the water and the sunshine and all that occurs in the rhythmic cycles of play. It is not that one takes oneself less seriously in terms of being willing to spend the life dedicating the self to the infinite creator and to service to others. But rather, it is that the burden of being a serious seeker falls away before the very organic and natural, light-hearted and merry vision of oneself and awareness of oneself as a creature of the one infinite creator. Not striving, but being. The feeling becomes almost one of curiosity. Ah, I am in this present moment. Creator, where shall you toss me now? What is your will for me this day? We would at this time pause to ask the group if there are follow-ups to this central question before we take other questions from you. We are known to you as Hetan, and we now pause.
I have a follow-up question. Is John Juan Matus, the teacher of the writer and Carlos Castaneda, was he real? And can you talk about him as an entity shaman?
Well, we are those of Akul and are aware of your query, my brother. Because this question is part of your active process at this time. We find that we would be influencing you unduly were we to comment directly. We can, however, offer some thoughts connected with this query having to do with spiritual principles, if that would be acceptable to you, my brother.
Yes. Gladly.
We are those at Kuo and therefore are able to proceed in some ways. We apologize that our desire to maintain our polarity causes us to refrain from more specific information. One spiritual principle involved within your query, which may be helpful to you, is that of truth being untouched by its vehicle. That is, the question of whether someone such as Don Juan Matus or Jesus the Christ or Zarathustra was real is irrelevant to spiritual seekers. Each thought that has been thought by any entity in creation has a reality. It has a vibrational nature. Depending upon the intensity of that thought, its life may be tenuous or powerful. And if a group of entities are working with the construct of a Don Juan Matus or a Jesus the Christ or a Zarathustra, then the thought forms connected with this entity build up and have a life of their own with their vibrational characteristics, depending upon the strength of those who come to form themselves by thinking along the lines suggested by one of these great teachers. Another spiritual principle that is sometimes helpful when gazing at the writings of those inspired entities which have resonated to a seeker is polarity. Is polarity. When an entity who is teaching is purely positive in polarity, there is within the teaching a flow of wisdom and compassion which does not have to do in any way with control over others. The magical systems of many of your cultures, including the so-called sects of the Christian religion, sometimes contain mixed polarity, in that there is the attempt either by the leader of a sect or a type of thought, or by the organization that rises up around a leader or a professor of a certain system of thought, which is hopeful of controlling and manipulating entities or situations. The positive polarity has no axe to grind, but exists in an energy of faith, love, gratitude, and joy. Often, wonderful teachings that are very positive and polarity are intermixed with teachings that have strongly moved into the energies of yellow ray, where there is the ability to work in groups. And instead of sinking into the group and allowing the group to express its worship and its practices on a spontaneous and radiant basis, there is the negative yellow ray concern for the manipulation and disposition of its members or of situations having to do with entities with whom it is in relationship. We will encourage the one known as Alan and all of those who read concerning very helpful and interesting ideas, such as the one known as Don Juan Matus offers in his system of teaching, to, again, as we said at the beginning of this session, maintain the most thoughtful discrimination so that you slow down the process of absorption of new material to the pace where you can absorb it in a considered and comfortable manner. There is often a tendency towards impulsivity when one is surrounding oneself with the thoughts of a new source of inspiration. And this impulsivity does not serve the seeker nearly as well as the attitude of being one who reflects and then lets go and then reflects again and then lets go, so that one gradually deepens one's intelligence concerning a particular system of thought. There are always pearls that are just for you, but there is almost always surrounding material that acts more as fertilizer than as jewel. So there is that process when working with inspired material of slowing that self down who is so eager for the fruits of this system to the pace that enables the seeker truly and genuinely to absorb material in a way that does not rush the fences of intellect and toss one into a situation where one is simply beginning to repeat by rote various things that a particular entity has suggested to be true. May we answer you further, my brother. We are those of Kuul.
If you're asking me if I want more, I'd just as soon hear a question from someone else.
We are those of Kuul, and therefore would ask if there is another query at this time. We are those of Guo and believe that we have exhausted the queries in this circle of seeking at this particular session of working. That leaves us with regret in a way, for we have greatly enjoyed our ability to be a part of your secret circle and to experience the beauty of your blended auras. Thank you so much for inviting us to share in your meditation. It has been a blessed experience for us and a wonderful opportunity for us to serve the infinite creator in the type of service that we have chosen. We leave this instrument and this group in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, encouraging each to seek the creator in all things and to set the mind upon love. For that is that which is the truth. We are known to you as those of Kuul. Adonai. Adonai Vasu. As we begin to let the light go back to the infinite creator that we collected in this group, let us put in that light our hopes, our dreams, and our prayers for healing. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. You united people, we are one. You united people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. You united people, we are one. You united people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. You united people, we are one. You united people, we are one.